nothing there.
There was a similar corridor beyond the door, but it was slightly less wide, and one or two of the ceiling lights had malfunctioned.
Whew, air's better.
Reckon we could be close to ground level. Passage is level.
There's a plan over there that they haven't taken down.
Christie tried to make sense out of the pattern of colored rectangles and circles on the schematic map, looking at the fluorescent yellow arrow with the words, "You are here."
It only shows this level.
There appears to be some residential accommodation with washing and sleeping facilities, if they didn't strip it during the evacuation of the place.
Sometimes they leave one small section for the final platoon, or whatever was working here on the last cleansing. I think it's up to the left.
JB stooped over the key, trying to read a small rectangle of white paper that had been stuck over one of the adjacent sections.
What was this? It says ART. What does that stand for? Anyone come across it before?
Armament retraining?
Arizona Rangers Tercentenary?
American Research and Technology?
Must be something military. It looks like it's something that they only came up with at the last moment and just stuck it on. Some kind of evacuation section? Nah, I can't even guess.
We can go look, can't we?
Sure. But that part with bathing facilities sounds like a number one target for us. To the left and up a couple of levels. Hope there's no more locked sec doors.
Ryan found his hope was fulfilled. It was as if the big sec barrier had been a last resort, sealing off the lower part of the redoubt from above, locking it away for all time. There were more signs of human life, evidence of a hasty departure. In a controlled and unchanging environment, the detritus of the evacuation had remained untouched. Soda cans lay crumpled in corners with gum wrappers. Wads of tissue were stained black with what could have been clotted blood, or might have been teriyaki sauce. After 100 years, there wasn't much way of knowing. Clothes were piled everywhere, pants and shirts and olive green, some with badges of rank still shining dully on them. Ryan stared at a mound of scarlet berets that lay in a corner of one of the corridors.
Looks like the end came fast.
Wonder if they left any weapons.
Damned, if you don't have a one-track mind, John. How about finding some worthwhile relics of the past, like books or movies or records, newspapers? They're all better than blasters.
Depends on what you want them for. A book isn't much use against a gang of screaming stickies.
I once believed that the pen was mightier than the sword, until I attempted to fight a duel with a feathery quill pen against a sturdy piratical cutlass. I must here admit that I was most damnably fortunate to escape with my life from that incident.
Let's head for the rest and washing section of the redoubt.
The corridors were narrower further on, and a lot of the lights had gone out. A network of fine cracks ran along some of the walls in the ceiling, with deeper crevices here and there, looking like quake damage or possibly ancient nuke tremors. Someone had painted a crude hammer and sickle on one of the locked doors to the right, with the warning, "Red's out, you want the gain, then take the pain."
There was talk of invasion well before the actual time of Skydark. Rumors of millions of Russians and Chinese pouring across the Bering Strait into Alaska, marching down through San Francisco.
JB stopped a moment to adjust his weaponry.
Surprises me that we don't come across more booby traps in these places. The way the world had war terror and total paranoia about the Russians beating us. When they left the redoubts, they must have had a genuine fear that the Ruskies would come strutting in and take them over. Be easy enough to set some triggers.
I guess they were frightened that any sort of booby trap might take out their own men once they came back after the war.
After the war. Après la guerre. Where are the Snowdens of yesteryear? Gone to graveyards, every one. After the war, madam? Yes, verily, I believe that was once what decent people hoped for. It would have been a brave land fit for heroes, fit for muties and the rad sick. After the brief war was over, there was precious little left. Spoils to the victor, a spoiled world to the victor.
Doc moved ahead of the others, down a side corridor that the map had showed would soon lead them to the sleeping and washing quarters of the complex. A whole row of lights had gone down, and a stretch of 40 or 50 paces was in total darkness. Ryan was staring at the ceiling as Doc vanished into the blackness.
Funny. Back there, the ceiling lights had simply gone out. Here they've been broken. The glass cover smashed. Deliberately broken. Now why would anyone have done that?
As Doc strode further from his friends into the gloom, much of his mind was preoccupied with the thought of having some good hot water to luxuriate in, and the possibility of a night's rest and a decent bed. Another part of his mind was flirting with a recollection of his dear wife, Emily. They had visited some caves down in the desert southwest, with dark passages and the smell of dank air. The corridor with its broken lights brought back something of that time. His wife's small hand in his, and glimpsed out of the corner of his eye, the cameo locket she often wore around her throat as they stepped cautiously over the sandstone floor. And another part of his mind was considering what John Barrymore Dix had just been saying about the possibility of booby traps. How odd it was that they rarely encountered them in evacuated redoubts.
Odd indeed.
Behind Doc, Ryan suddenly realized why the lights had been smashed.
Doc! Don't move!
Doc took one more step and felt a taut wire brush against his knees. He knew instantly what it was. He dove to the floor. As he hugged the floor, he felt something tug lightly at his silvery hair. Quite shaken, Doc contented himself with lying still on the concrete until his senses returned.
Doc?
Yes. Yes, Ryan, my dear fellow. I am here.
Stay dead still, Doc. Don't try and move at all until we know what the fuck's happened.
I believe that John Barrymore's supposition has come true. I touched a wire, and then, as I dived for safety, something swung by above my head.
What?
I have no idea, my dear friend. But it felt like the pendulum in Mr. Poe's enchanting gothic tale. It missed me by somewhat less than a whisker.
Doc put his hand up and touched a loose hank of hair and a warm wetness that had to be blood.
Indeed, it actually has scratched me, but I am well enough.
Just stay still. I've got a self-light. I'll come slow and easy to try and find out what happened.
Be careful.
The rest of you stay back here.
Doc found that his eyes were quickly becoming accustomed to the dark around him, and he could see Ryan and the others silhouetted against the overhead lights farther back down the corridor. He turned his head and stared directly above him, toward the invisible ceiling.
I believe I can see the trap. My jest about the pendulum now seems less droll. There is some sort of axe suspended from wires that I triggered as I walked by.
I think I can see it, Doc. Wait a... There, that's better.
The tiny match gave enough light for Doc to be able to see clearly what hung above him, still gently moving back and forth.
By the three Kennedys.
It was a large axe blade with a half dozen needle-sharp bayonets strapped to it for extra weight and malice, strung onto a narrow leather strap that was fixed to a ring bolt in the ceiling. A thin length of wire glittered down the wall to where Doc had broken it as he walked past.
I see it, Doc. I reckon it's safe enough for you to get up. Keep clear of the edge.
The very sword of Damocles.
Doc steadied himself for a moment with a hand on the rough concrete wall. He stooped again to pick up his fallen sword stick, feeling oddly wobbly and dizzy.
You all right, Doc? You got a little blood coming down the side of your head, above your left ear.
A mere nick, Ryan.
The match went out, and they were in darkness again.
A nick in time saved nine, as my dear old mother used to say.
There didn't seem to be any further booby traps left behind by the fleeing occupants of the redoubt, but everyone moved more slowly and with more care. The sec door into the section for living accommodation stood open.
That bit with the label for art is close to us. Could go find out what it is.
Alternate reality technology?
Hey, that sounds possible. What do you reckon, lover?
First things first. Let's sort out what we've got here.
It was a typical layout that they'd come across several times before, only on a slightly larger scale than usual. There was a number of linked dormitories, each holding either 6 or 12 beds, each bed with its own plastic-covered mattress and pile of blankets. The material had become frail with age, but the temperature inside the complex was a steady 68 degrees, so warmth wasn't a problem. There were no external windows in any of the rooms, though the map had shown that they were now close to the surface levels. This section was cleaner than some of the other passages had been, with no litter or discarded clothes.
Bathrooms are here!
The others followed him across a corridor into the vast washing facilities. These were divided into male and female, and both had toilet cubicles, as well as showers and bathtubs. There was also a long row in each bathroom of immaculate washers and dryers.
Ooh, could we dare hope for soap?
There.
Christy pointed to an open-fronted set of shelves that carried sealed packs of hand soap, detergents, shampoos, and gels.
But is there any hot water?
Ryan walked to the nearest shower stall, reaching for the chrome handle.
Oh, nothing. I fear that we are doomed to suffer a drought. If only I could recall the precise wording and steps of the Hopi rain dance that I was once privileged to learn. But that was in another time, another place.
Ryan took a few cautious steps backward. A few drops of sticky, rusty liquid seeped from the shower head.
We're going to get real clean with a few drops of brown water.
It hasn't finished. I can hear something.
Upon my soul, I had never thought that hot water could have seemed so welcome. Manna from heaven does not get within a country mile of it.
Ryan reached again for the handle.
I'll go close that sec door, make sure we're secure. Maybe I'll wait while you all have your baths and showers, just in case.
I'll take a bath check too, lover. That way we can all relax.
It had taken the better part of an hour for JB, Doc, Jack, and Mildred to finish bathing themselves. Ryan and Christy had used the time to get the beds ready. Mildred and the armorer shared one room, while Doc and Jack had a small dormitory. Ryan and Christy had another small dormitory for themselves. Now, however, it was their turn to bathe. Christy slipped the sec bolt across to make sure they weren't interrupted.
So, it's going to be my kind of bath.
Ryan sat on the floor and unlaced his combat boots.
As long as you can rise to the occasion.
Not normally a problem.
Sure you aren't getting too old for it?
She was already down to her bra and silken bikini panties, her red hair tumbling free over her shoulders.
You'll be the first to know.
Christy stepped through the tendrils of steam towards the bath.
Just right.
Ryan stood and smiled down at her, admiring her breasts, the nipples already hardening with her ready excitement. She was sitting in the water, which reached her armpits, the rippling surface disguising the fiery splash of color at the junction of her thighs.
Bring something to wash with, lover.
Sure.
Ryan walked to the shelves.
There's all flavors. More like cocktails than soaps. Mango and black currant. Kiwi and peppermint. Passion fruit and mandarin. Yang Lang and marjoram.
Anything.
She watched Ryan as he stood on the far side of the bathroom, feeling a surge of love for the tall, lean figure, seeing again the countless scars that seamed his body, puckering the flesh across his chest and the small of his back. His curly black hair was flattened by the damp atmosphere, and she was struck by a sudden resemblance between Ryan and his absent son, Dean.
You like what you see?
Always have. Now I'd like to feel it as well.
I'm hungry. Can we go look for food?
Ryan squinted at his wrist chron.
It's only six, Jack. Kind of early.
Real hungry. Haven't eaten for a whole day or more. The others are awake.
All right. Just give us a couple of minutes.
Does this mean what I think it does?
You bet it does.
There was no food in the redoubt. At least, there was nothing in the sections to which they had access. They could get into the kitchens that had prepared meals for the entire command of the fortress, probably 2,000 or 3,000 strong at its height, but the kitchens were a melancholy fugue in endless chrome. Row upon row of stoves, storage closets, and garbage disposals stood silent and unused. Most were in amazingly good condition, with very little evidence of decay, looking as though they could be made operational again at a few minutes' notice if the call came.
Soon as we get out of here, we'd best get some hunting done. Fishing.
Long as we don't walk out into some raging rat hotspot.
Think this is Tennessee?
No way of knowing. Any thoughts, JB, on where we might be?
Jump code said Tennessee. Didn't say where. We've been around the state with Trader and the War Wags.
Good times and bad times.
Be good to see old Muddy again. Been a while.
I visited Memphis once. I wanted to see Graceland.
What that?
The place where Elvis lived. And if you ask me who Elvis is, young Jack, then I shall be happy to kick you into the middle of next month.
What, some kind of singer?
Some kind of singer? Yeah, he was some kind of singer.
They checked out everywhere except the mysterious section labeled Art. According to the master plan of the redoubt, this lay roughly between where they'd slept and the main entrance. They were still coming up with fresh guesses as to the meaning of the letters.
A shrine dedicated to the goddess Artemis? Or some reference to a cult who tried to follow the spirit of King Arthur? Or, as we all obviously know, there was a son of Xerxes I of Persia whose name was Artaxerxes.
I reckon it's short for artillery. Now that would be something.
Huh. A whole segment of a redoubt dedicated just to artillery. Now that would be something that most barons would give the right arms for. Never thought of that.
Want to leave the boys to play with their toys, honey?
Sure could do that, sweet thing. You and me can go down to the club and get in some serious dancing.
I would not be averse to cutting a rug with a hot patootie myself. Big guns are not my idea of fun.
Yeah, yeah, have your little jokes, my friends. If it really is artillery, then we could maybe make us some triple serious jack out of it.
Then let's go.
The sect door had been left shut on a manual override, like the entrance to the gateway units. A plain green lever that was lifted up to raise the door. They found themselves walking into an open area with three rooms opening off it.
The entrance is along here, to the right.
So the ART place must be through those two.
There was a warning notice just inside the first doorway.
This section is closed to all personnel below B6 grading, and a special written pass is required at all times. No smoking and no food to be permitted in this section. Everything contained within this section is the property of the Tennessee Museum of Modern American Art and is not to be damaged, altered, moved, or removed without proper cognitive authority.
A-R-T. It means art. Simple as that. Pictures and stuff.
Paintings. And I hope for artillery.